Mitchell and Langer on the line of scrimmage coming from either side to try to block the kick. Auburn trying to go after it. Here's a snap. They got it. Block kick. Ball's back to the 25. Picked up on the bounce at the 25-yard line. And in for a touchdown is David Langer. Mitchell on the left, and Auburn is again going after the kick, as you might imagine. Greg Gantt standing on his own 30. Auburn will try to block it. Auburn going after it. Here's a good snap. It is blocked. It is blocked. It's caught on the run. It's caught on the run. He's going to score. David Langer. David Langer has scored. And Auburn is tied.
First things first. Fourth and goal at a half a yard. Jackson. Touchdown.
Carnell Williams at the tailback. They'll hand it off to Williams up the middle. 25. Cuts it inside. 30. 35. 40. There goes Cadillac. To the 50. To the 40. To the 30. To the 20. To the 15. 10. Go crazy, Cadillac. Go crazy. Touchdown.
Welcome to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will 2, quality and safe work for industry. Your chance to talk anything and everything Auburn. Join the conversation at 343-0106. Now, here's your host, Doug Holton.
And welcome in, everybody, to Tiger Talk Overtime on this Thursday night. A little late start to Tiger Talk tonight, but enjoy the debate and the interaction between the candidates, and we'll try to continue the excitement there after that debate. The Auburn Tigers coming up on the ball game with Samford this weekend, an early game, 11 o'clock game. Of course, another week away from the Alabama game in Jordan-Hare Stadium, which everybody is looking forward to. We'll talk some about that as well. A couple of bright notes for the Tigers after the loss to Georgia last week. Auburn's Derrick Brown continues to rack up the awards and semifinalist awards. He is now in the contention for the Outland Trophy and the Nagurski Trophy. Should be a strong candidate in both of those. We'll talk a little bit about that as the show goes on, and also the Auburn basketball team getting ready for their tournament in New York the beginning of next week. An exciting tournament up there, and the Tigers and Coach Bruce Pearl inked a trio of very talented players this week, and we'll hear from Coach Pearl coming up in our second hour. But let's talk a little bit about this week and about the Samford game and the Alabama game coming up. Maybe we'll do a poll tonight since we had the political debate poll. Do you think the Auburn Tigers can beat Alabama next week at Jordan-Hare Stadium without Tua playing quarterback for the Crimson Tide? He is out for the season. So give us a call if you'd like to. 343-0106 is our number tonight, as always, on Tiger Talk. And joining us now in the first segment, Brent Bedsole, the offensive coordinator for the Spanish Fort Toros and former Auburn player and coach. And Brent, great to have you with us tonight on Tiger Talk.
Man, Doug, it's always great to talk about the Auburn Tigers. And you and I had the great pleasure of watching Auburn play South Alabama last week in the basketball game. And I tell you, that basketball team is going to be something special. They're already off to a 5-0 start this year and put a whipping on a couple of teams since South Alabama. So it's been an exciting week for Auburn.
Yeah, I tell you what, they are really coming on. I've really enjoyed watching them play the last couple of games. Didn't really expect that, but the guards, Javon and Samir and Cambridge, shooting the basketball, I'm very impressed so far, and it looks like they're going to sign another couple of guys before this year, the recruiting season is over, and that could really boost their class. I think the Tigers are ranked 12th in the country right now. But let's talk some football, Brent.
That's right. Football is still upon us, isn't it?
Yeah, and we were talking about the Samford ball game a little bit, and those kind of games when you were coaching at Auburn with Coach Tuberville can present some problems, maybe in preparation and getting up for the game or just knowing your opponent. Sometimes these games can be tough.
They really are. These are the weeks that, as a coach, you just fret about, because you know you should win the game. You know it shouldn't be close. It takes me back to the first game when we were when I was on the Tuberville staff as a graduate assistant. We played Appalachian State, and this is going to bring back bad memories to some people. But the very first game of the year, and at halftime, I think the score was something like 14-12 or six. It was really close, somewhere low-scoring game at halftime. And I remember coming down from the press box after the game and going into the – I remember back before they built this new addition, you used to have to walk outside the end zone and back into the locker room.
Right.
And people were actually throwing empty and sometimes full water bottles on top of us and yelling at us. And one guy had been an Auburn supporter for a long, long time. As we got off the elevator, looks at us and said, "We could have kept Terry Bowden for all this, if y'all," you know, and he was upset with us. I mean, it was a bad day at Flat Rock that day whenever we played. But it was a game that wasn't exciting. The players don't get excited about it. It's more exciting for Samford. I coached at Samford as well for 2 years. And these games are good for those kids so they can get a chance to prove, you know, I think I could play at the highest level as well. And they really come out fired up. Now, whether they can do it or not is another story, but these kids from Samford will come out and play hard on Saturday.
Yeah, and it's going to be a business-like approach for the Auburn Tigers, an early game. So it's going to take the crowd a while to get into the game and probably the players as well. Mm-hmm. But coming off of that Georgia game, not a lot of excitement in the first three quarters, 21-0. The Dogs were on top. A lot of people left the stadium at the end of the third quarter, and Auburn came back a little bit, showed some signs of life, and had a chance to win that ball game at the end. What was your impression of the fourth quarter and the quarters leading up to that one?
Well, I wish the fans hadn't quit on the players like the players did not quit in that game. You know, Pat Bo Nix makes that throw on the third or fourth down play where he threw it right behind
Joyner.
I forgot who it was intended for.
Joyner.
Yeah, Joyner. Yeah. That's right. Joyner. I think Joyner was his only play in the game, as a matter of fact, from what I'm thinking of back. I don't think he played a whole lot.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
Brought him off the bench for a big play. You know, some people got upset about that. I know I've heard people talk about that since then, why he didn't go to a guy that's proven like Schwartz or somebody like that. But my point being, you know, that if that ball is caught, if that ball is thrown out in front where it should have been, Joyner catches it, who knows? It's a whole different ball game then, and we probably have a chance to win that game. But you know what the best thing out of that was, Doug, is those guys didn't quit. And anytime you got a team that doesn't quit, then you've got a chance to win in every single ball game, no matter who you are. And it's kind of like our team at Spanish Fort this year. These kids aren't quitting, and a lot of people think we have gone farther than we should. But that's what happens with football. You got to play it on the field and not on paper.
Yeah, and a lot of calls, just watching those calls in the press box, the one that sticks out to me is when they called the horse collar on Marlon Davidson. I didn't think that was a horse collar. He had him by the shirt, and I don't think that's the way the rule reads. And then, of course, the catch on the sidelines, the toe-heel type thing that they took away from Auburn, too. But anyway, I guess
a lot of those type calls in every game, and you got to overcome those things, and that's the teams that win that can overcome those mistakes and bad calls. And so Auburn, you know, I don't think they played well in the first for whatever, who knows why, but I do think that they didn't quit, and that's a huge thing to me, and I hope to all the Auburn people out there watching.
Yeah, and they've got, you know, I guess what Auburn has to play for now, as Coach Malzahn mentioned the other day, a 10-win season if they can win out and win the bowl game. And they have a chance to win that last one at Jordan-Hare Stadium and maybe rearrange the college football playoff system a little bit.
Yeah, they definitely will do that if they can win that one. And, you know, I'm not – big, as you well know, I'm talking about games that are going to happen a week after you've already got a game coming up this Saturday. Even though it's Samford, you don't look past anybody in this world. But, you know, evidently, and also that's part of the problem of a game like this is, you know, these players, they're kids, they're doing the same thing the fans are doing. They're looking past this to the next one next week, and that's a big one. And it's one that I feel like we've got to win, especially given the situation, you know, with Tua's injury. And let me be one to say, I don't wish that on anybody. I mean, that is
absolutely
horrific what happened to him. And I hope that we don't go around. We're not good Auburn people. Don't go around wishing bad on their players because we wouldn't want that to happen to ours.
Absolutely not. Glad he came out of the surgery, hopefully in good shape, and we hope that he has a full recovery. Hey, Brent, we wish you good luck this Friday night, tomorrow night against Park Crossing, right?
Yeah, we play Park Crossing. The Thunderbirds are coming out of Montgomery and going to drop down here tomorrow night. And hopefully, you know, we played well the last 2 weeks. Chris Abrams-Drain, who is we'll probably see playing against us in the future as he's going to Ole Miss, and I'm sure we'll see him playing against us at Auburn one day, is a great athlete. To my knowledge, probably I'm going to call him the best athlete in the state for me because I think he does it all. He's a receiver that we've asked to play quarterback, and he gives us a chance to win every time he touches the ball. And he's a fun kid to watch. If you want to see a fun kid to watch, come out there tomorrow night and get a chance to see Chris play. And all the other guys, I mean, we've got a bunch of young kids, sophomores playing really, really hard. A couple of our senior guys have stepped up. And even though, you know, the sophomores and junior class are probably leading this thing, we got some seniors that are contributing very well as also. But just excited for the kids. I mean, a lot of people wrote us off, didn't think we could get this far. We were 4 seed, and tomorrow night's going to be 2 4 seeds playing each other. So that lets you know, too, that, you know, these seed things and all these rankings and all that stuff, they don't matter till you get it on the field, and that's what's going to happen tomorrow night. It's going to be a fun time. I hope we've got a great plan, and hopefully we'll come out with a win and move on to the semifinals the next week.
Yeah, those 4 seeds are pretty good sometimes. We wish you luck, Brent, tomorrow night. We'll be keeping track of that one, and always a pleasure to visit with you about Auburn football.
Well, thank you for having me on. And, guys, hey, War Eagle, and let's roll on through the rest of this year and enjoy it and then get on into basketball and win there, too. And then Butch Thompson's baseball team's going to do it. And remember what Coach Dye always said, Auburn people love Auburn, Alabama people love Alabama football.
There you go. There you go. All right, Brent, appreciate it, and we'll talk very soon.
All right. Thank you, Doug. Take
care. Brent Betzel. Former Auburn player and coach, and a great segue there. We'll be back to talk some Auburn basketball about the signing class right after this.
Tiger Talk OT continues, presented by Will 2, quality and safe work for industry. Share your thoughts at 343-0106. Now your host, Doug Holton.
And welcome back into the show, everybody. Give us a call tonight on Tiger Talk Overtime as we're following the political debate a little later this evening than usual. Nonetheless, we invite your phone calls, 343-0106. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, let's hear your thoughts on the Auburn Tigers and Alabama coming up. Not this weekend. Of course, it's a Samford game, but next weekend. Do you think Auburn has that that chance of beating Alabama at Jordan-Hare Stadium without Tua playing quarterback for the Crimson Tide? Love to hear your thoughts on that. Maybe in the next segment, as we're going to talk some basketball right now. And following the greatest season in in Auburn basketball history, that included the run to the Final Four and the SEC tournament title, head coach Bruce Pearl and the Tigers have signed 3 elite players during the 1920 early signing period, which just concluded. Auburn received national letters of intent from Sharif Cooper, Chris Moore, and Justin Powell to give the Tigers a consensus top 15 recruiting class, including the 9th best class in the country, according to ESPN. All 3 signees are expected to enroll in the summer of 2020. So it gives them a head start. And Coach Bruce Pearl talked about the signing class at his press conference yesterday.
With the early signing period concluding, I wanted to take an opportunity to go over a little bit of our most recent recruiting class. First of all, I want to give my staff all the credit for, I think, a job well done over the past several years. And each of the assistants had a hand in the 3 guys that we've signed. Stephen Pearl was the primary on Justin Powell. Ira Bowman and Stephen were the primary on Sharif Cooper. And Wes Flanagan was the primary on Chris Moore. I think our guys that work really, really well together, complementing each other, and putting the kids, putting this together. These are 3 great kids. They are very competitive. They played in great AAU programs, regionally. When you play high school basketball in Kentucky, when you play high school basketball in West Memphis, Arkansas, and you play high school basketball in the heart of Atlanta, you're in some tall timber. You know, Sharif Cooper's a national champion. He was the player of the year in the country last year. He could have gone anywhere and been the point guard. We were the common denominator with this group, and I think with our success over the last several years in recruiting, it's been we got there early. It became real fashionable to recruit Sharif Cooper 2 years ago, but it wasn't 4 years ago when he was, you know, very undersized. And we told you that Jared Harper was going to be worth the price of admission. And you could say that again when it comes to Sharif Cooper. But he and his family appreciated the fact that we were first and really truly believed in him. He's special. He's unique. He's rare. A great competitor. All he wants to do is win. Makes everybody else around him better. But it's been 4 years. Justin Powell talks about the fact that I chased him and Walker Kessler around a bunch of remote gyms when they were freshmen and sophomores. And we were one of the very first to offer Justin. And he appreciated that. He and his family remembered that. And, you know, the thing I love about Justin is just the fact that while you recognize, going to recognize what a great shooter he is, like he can make it from Kentucky with the baskets in Auburn. I mean, if he can see it, he can make it. He's a great shooter. But the thing I love about him is that he really wants to be a complete player. He's worked on his body. He's worked on his speed, his quickness. So that discipline, that work ethic, that recognition of his great skill, but also the desire to be a more complete player, also a great competitor. But it's been 4 years, 3-4 years. And then, you know, hiring Wes Flanagan. Wes Flanagan been recruiting Chris Moore since, I don't know, you know, he's got Allen going through the biddy ball stuff, you know, back in the day. And so he's very familiar with those kids from Arkansas, family friends. And we were Chris's first official visit a couple years ago. And they fell in love with the place. And they used Auburn sort of as that barometer. Everywhere else they went, how did it compare to Auburn? Chris is such a matchup nightmare for the opponent. Like Isaac Okoro, he guard 1 through 5. He's physically tough, great competitor. And I've said this, if you want to brand Auburn basketball and use a guy like Chris Moore as far as that's the brand of Auburn basketball, I'd be fine with that. He can put the ball down the floor. He can create off the bounce. Gives you great versatility. But we've been recruiting him for 3 and 4 years. So while everybody wants to look at the Final Four or the league championships the last couple of years and say, well, that's the reason, it really isn't. It's just good old-fashioned hard work and getting in early and grinding and doing your job. And that's what I want to give my assistant coaches credit for. Does it help the fact that we've had more success the last couple of years with the actual signing of the documents? Yes, it probably does. It probably finishes the job. And for that, I'm grateful to everybody, all my former players and staff and our fan base for helping us. But we've had top 25 programs 5 out of the last 6 years. But we've not had, you know, probably – but it's all – they've all been probably between 20 and 25. Mm-hmm. It's just an area that we kind of hunt. We feel like we can get players in the top 100, 125 players in the country, and every now and then – you'll pick off a Sharif Cooper, pick off a Mustafa Heron, pick off an Austin Wiley. Sharif's got a chance to be our first McDonald's All-American. It's harder for guys that don't go to all the brand name schools, the Blue Bloods, to get into the McDonald's All-American game. I don't mind saying it publicly because it's true and it's wrong. I'm hoping that Sharif Cooper's ability, his championship a year ago in high school, the incredible leadership he's shown on the EYBL circuit for Nike, and the excellence of his play puts him in a position to once again be a McDonald's All-American, even though he went to Auburn.
And the thoughts of Coach Bruce Pearl, and I think Sharif will get that chance to be a McDonald's All-American. The first, I think, since Corvatni Barber at Auburn back around 2005, recruited by Coach Lebo, I think. But really exciting to watch the Tigers play right now. They're starting to play at a very high level. I hate to say this, but Javon McCormick and Samir Dowdy almost, I think, could play maybe at a better higher level than the guards last year for Auburn, which is amazing to say, but I think they're on that track right now. And as Coach mentioned, Isaac Okoro, a true freshman playing at a very high level, as is Devin Cambridge. Wow, you watch him play on the court, 6'6", 190, true freshman, and he can really play. He can rebound it, he can run, he can shoot. And the Tigers are off to the tournament next week at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York. They'll play New Mexico on Monday night, and then the next night, Tuesday night, they'll play the winner of Richmond and Wisconsin. So we'll be watching to see the Tigers' progress there. On the way back, we're going to talk some more football as we visit with Brian Brensfield, former Auburn Tiger in the 1990s. And, of course, Brian has some interesting thoughts about the Tigers. He grew up in this area in Spanish Fort, played at Fairhope, his high school football. And as we mentioned before, Auburn's Derek Brown bringing in lots of honors and potential honors on down the road. We'll talk some more about that. Talk some Auburn football as we get you ready for Samford and the Tigers Saturday at 11 right here on Tiger Talk Overtime.
Tiger Talk OT continues, presented by Will 2, quality and safe work for industry. Share your thoughts at 343-0106. Now your host, Doug Holton.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, everybody, on this Thursday night. A little late start for us tonight because of the political debate, but glad you're hanging with us as we talk Auburn Tiger football, and we just talked a little Auburn Tigers basketball as well, as the Tigers are off to a fast start on the hard courts in 2019 and 2020. Give us a call, 343-0106 is our number here at FM Talk 106.5 if you'd like to talk about Auburn football and tell us what you think so far of the 19 season. Are you heading up to the Samford game on Saturday? Or what about the Alabama game in 2 weeks, as we mentioned before? Do you think Auburn can take the Crimson Tide at Jordan-Hare Stadium without Tua at quarterback? Of course, a tragic situation with Tua Tagovailoa and his injury, but we wish him the best as hopefully he'll have a speedy recovery. Joining us now on the phone lines here, Brian Brensfield, former Auburn Tiger, as we mentioned, and now the defensive line coach at Navarre. And, Brian, great to have you with us tonight. Welcome to the show. And your thoughts about the Tigers heading into the Samford game Saturday.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Doug. It's good to hear the War Eagle at the beginning of that. We don't over in Florida, we don't get a lot of that.
Yeah, so, you're getting a lot of Gators now, huh?
That's right.
Yeah.
And a lot of Roll Tide, which I can do that.
Uh-huh.
Samford, hopefully it's a game that, coming off of a Georgia, that they can regroup and get the offense clicking, doing some things maybe they hadn't done or have been holding in their pocket for Bama or I hate to say a scrimmage, but because that lessens Samford, but a trial run for Bama.
Right. I know we talked a little bit earlier today, and you have some unique relationships with the Auburn offense. Speaking of the offense, Nick Broms, who is the center for the Tigers now, has started the last couple of games, is a guy you coached in high school. And
right.
Patrick Nix was, I think you said, in your signing class. So you and Patrick are pretty close, and you've kept tabs on Bo's career, I know, for a few years now.
Yeah, I have. I talked to Patrick today, and he's doing well. And, you know, it's tough being a parent. I can remember my parents, and I can remember Patrick's parents sitting up in the stands and probably closing their eyes, and they were probably more nervous than we were. And I know Patrick and Krista are probably the same way, and even Patrick's dad was a high school coach, and Conrad. I know they get nervous, but you know it's hard being QB1 at a big school, and when you're 19 years old, you know I remember Stan having Patrick nipping on his heels, and you know usually the backup quarterback is the most popular person on campus. I don't know a lot about Cord, but we got to keep Bo healthy and. You know, Patrick came in when Stan left, and Damian was on his heels. So it's a good thing in a way that they push you, but there is a lot of pressure being a QB1 at a big school, and especially a school like Auburn. We don't have any pro sports in the state of Alabama, and really, if you're a Alabama Crimson Tide football player or Auburn Tiger football player, you're a pro in the state of Alabama. So yeah. He's under a big spotlight, and with Nick. You know, Nick didn't get to play his senior year. He hurt his foot and had to have surgery. But he's a great kid. He's been there, I think, 2.5 years, and he's already set to graduate in aviation. So he'll be able to get his master's and maybe work on something else. Really, really smart kid. He's come in with Kim. I think had some problems with snaps, and Nick started the last two games and done a really good job.
Yeah, and what I was just going to ask you in talking to those guys a little bit, do you get a feel as to what they think about the offense? Do you talk about that? And it's obviously they're running and throwing for a pretty good number of yards, but they're not, you know, ending those drives in scores and in touchdowns. Do they feel like there's some little thing that's maybe holding them back from getting into the end zone?
You know, I don't talk with Patrick about it. I talk with Nick about some things, but I haven't talked to him this week, so I don't know coming off the Georgia game. But you shorten the field, and there's less you can do offensively. And I think our offense has just got to, like you said, find a way to finish, whether that's in the run game and putting maybe two tight ends in, or spreading out and getting an empty and trying to find a hole in his own defense if they don't go man to man. But with this offense and with the offenses these days, there's plenty of formations you can use, and things you can do out of those formations but you basically got to have a red zone package. And be really good at it because, like you said, they get the ball down the field. Mm. It's just finishing, and that kind of happened last week.
Yeah, and I noticed maybe you have the same impression, but they started off throwing a lot of slants. They threw a lot of sideways stuff later on, bubbles and that kind of thing, and mixed in less and less of the run, it seemed like, as the game went on. So it was a little frustrating, I guess, to not see Auburn throw the ball downfield vertically a little more. Did you have that impression, or is that something they were trying to avoid last week against Georgia?
Not that I know of. And Bo's an incredible down-the-field passer.
Yeah.
And he's got a great touch on the ball. We've seen it when he does throw downfield, and sometimes he's so hyped he overthrows. But he's got a great touch on the ball for a downfield passer. I was excited because you're right. They started throwing the slant. They started throwing the bubble screen. And what that does is that opens the box up. They've got to bring a safety down. They've got to bump a linebacker out of the box. If we use an F or an H back or a sniffer back, they've got to have a safety accountable for him man to man. And what that does is spread the offense out. And if we do that and are successful, the run game should be there. And I don't know why it's not. But I'm like you. I'd love to see some intermittent throws, 20, 30-yard digs, 15, 20, 25-yard digs, and then let it fly sometimes if you've got man-to-man coverage, or you get that safety brought down because you're running the ball try to throw over the top of them.
Yeah, and it seems like the game is going that way. I know you played some quarterback, as you mentioned, I think when you were visiting with us last time in high school.
I was a wishbone quarterback.
Yeah.
A long, long time ago.
Yeah, but it seems like that's the way that college football is going with four, maybe five receivers, and instead of trying to block the linebacker coming in or whatever, you're sending your guys out and saying, let's see if you can cover this guy.
Oh, yeah, you're getting it. And we see it in high school. We see a lot of empty where there's nobody back there. They've got five wide receivers, and they say, okay, we're going to throw it before you get a chance to get your hands on the quarterback. And it really is tough because you've got to lock up man-to-man basically on those five receivers. And it's a little harder to play zone. But you play man under or man high, man free, and have a free safety back there, and do your best. To get to the quarterback or get hands up and get the ball batted down.
Yeah, and on the flip side of that, the defensive side, I was talking about Derrick Brown a little bit earlier and all the honors that he has this year. When other teams, the LSUs, the Alabamas, run that scheme of offense with four or five receivers and they're sending everybody out, does that lessen the effect of those guys like Derrick Brown a little bit? They've got to be awfully good to get through there in time to disrupt a play with that kind of offensive set.
A little bit, because if you look at our defense, we're either running a four-man front or a three-man front. And, you know, usually if they go five wide, four wide, or doubles, you know, we've got four rushers against five, possibly six if they're too wide on each side and got a running back in the backfield. So it's six against four.
Yeah.
And usually in those situations, we saw it with Burrows, we saw it with Fromm, they're getting the ball out without stepping sometimes in those quick slants, quick hits. If they are taking a step, it's one and getting the ball out. So it does lessen what the defensive line can do. But what they can do is once they see that left hand come off the ball, and we teach it every day, is get your hands up. And I think that's going to be big, knock down some passes. But I think, you know, hopefully we'll bring some pressure, not looking over Sanford. I hope we'll bring some pressure against Mack and make him look down instead of downfield.
Yeah, I guess
3-5 or 1 or 91, whoever's coming.
I guess he's a little bit bigger than Tua.
A little bit, yeah.
And Tua's had a little bit of a tendency to have some balls knocked down. But we were talking to Brent Bedsel a little bit earlier in the show. He brought up the App State game when he was coaching, I think, with Coach Tuberville. Do you remember a game like the Sanford ball game, especially after the Georgia game last week and an early game, an 11 o'clock game, goodness. Is that a very difficult game, I would think, for the players and also the fans to get up for a ball game like that?
I was there. We went 5-5-1 or 5-6 my first 2 years at Auburn. And I can't remember which one was which, but those were our two records at 91 and 92. If you get beat by Georgia and you got to look to Alabama, back then it was Amen Corner, Florida, Georgia, Alabama, all in one on three weeks. We played Sanford. In fact, we played them in 92 with Terry Bowden as their head coach, and then he came on board with us in 93. But you don't overlook them, you are looking down. You are looking at that Alabama game. That's what's kind of on your mind. It takes a lot for coaches to keep the mindset on this game, and usually you win because you got better players.
Yeah,
you've got depth and things like that. But it sometimes does in this situation where. What's Auburn playing for right now? They're playing for a chance to go to maybe a New Year's Day bowl. They're playing for the chance to be the Alabama state champions, and beat a really good Alabama football team. So it's tough sometimes to concentrate on Stanford.
Yeah, and I think Coach Malzahn said one of their goals now is to have a 10-win season, including the bowl game. And, of course, they have a chance to knock off Alabama and maybe knock them out of the college football playoff. Can you hang with us, Brian, through the break?
100%.
All right, good deal. We're visiting with Brian Brinsfield, and we'll be back to talk more Auburn football in just a minute. Stay with us. Tiger Talk Overtime on Thursday night.
Tiger Talk OT continues, presented by Will 2, quality and safe work for industry. Share your thoughts at 343-0106. Now your host, Doug Holton.
And welcome back, everybody. Tiger Talk Overtime on this Thursday night as the Tigers get ready for Samford early game Saturday morning at Jordan-Hare, 11 o'clock on the SEC Network. We want to thank Wes Williams and Will, too, and all our sponsors here for bringing you this show, and appreciate their help all season long as we get toward the end of the regular season here, visiting with Brian Brinsfield, the defensive line coach at Navarre, former Auburn Tiger back in the early, mid-1990s. And, Brian, one of the things I was thinking about during the break is watching the field goal unit last week against Georgia. I know you were a long snapper, right?
Right, that's right.
So do you see anything in the snap or the hold or the kick that's kind of throwing that off a little bit, or what do you think?
You know, I don't know. I haven't seen anything that's in the from the snap to the hold to the kick that's making us miss a couple. But I will say this, they're all going to be important on Saturday, and they're going to be incredibly important come 2 weeks. But I haven't seen anything amiss, you know. But talking about the special teams, I think special teams is, when we talk about Alabama, is going to be crucial. If we have to go three and out and punt, I think field position is going to be a big deal in the Alabama game. If Mac's got to lead them 80 yards, 90 yards, 75 yards, that allows the Auburn defense to do a lot of things different and bring a lot of exotic blitzes and things, stunts in the middle. So I think special teams, whether it's the snap, the kick, the hold, or the snap to the punt, and then coverage, is kickoff coverage, everything's going to be crucial.
Mm-hmm. And Alabama always has a good return game on the punt return and kickoff return. You've got to nail that down and not let them have the big play. An easy touchdown on those kind of plays. Visiting with Brian Brinsfield here on Tiger Talk Overtime. If you'd like to join us here in the last segment, 343-0106 is our number. If you'd like to tell us about your thoughts about Auburn football as we head toward the last two regular season games. And Brian, I was just thinking about when I said Spanish Ford and Fairhope. It's been a while, I guess, since you've been there playing. You mentioned, was that on the show or during the break? We were talking about you playing quarterback and the wishbone quarterback.
that was in Daphne. At the time, everybody on the Eastern Shore, I lived in Spanish Fort, but everybody went to in Spanish Fort and Daphne, went to Daphne Middle School or Daphne Junior High School, and then everybody went to Fairhope High School. And I was a wishbone quarterback at Daphne Junior High School, and then I was telling the guy the other day that I played with at Fairhope, one of the biggest mistakes of my life is sitting at the stadium in spring training going into my freshman year, and the coach saying, okay, listen, if you don't know where you play, just go where you think you want to go. And I went over to the offensive line for some reason. And that's where I was changed into an offensive lineman. So I don't know why I didn't go to quarterback.
That's after you played quarterback.
What's that?
That's after you played quarterback?
That's after I played quarterback.
Okay. So you had enough.
Maybe I'm not the smartest guy in the world, huh?
Yeah, and we were asking David King about that, his memories about playing at Fairhope last week. I think David was on the show with us. But anything stick out to you as far as wins and losses back in those days and memories of playing at Fairhope? What are the one or two things that you remember?
You know, it was a fun time. It was a weird time, though. We my sophomore year, and I said freshman. As a freshman, we were at Daphne. But my 10th grade season, we went to the third round of the playoffs. We had a guy named Toby Shields, who most of y'all will remember, was an All-SEC center at Alabama. He was our center at Fairhope and had a pretty good season, a pretty good year, had some pretty good athletes. The next year, we went 0-10, really won a game. And I was the same guy that I was talking to, David Fulford, was one of our linebackers and played on offense as well, on the offensive line. And I was talking to him with him at lunch the other day, and how do we win 0-10? I have no idea. We came back the next year and went to the first round, played Northview and lost in the first round. You know, one of the things that I think I mentioned this last time I was on, in the 91 Iron Bowl, there were five of us from Fairhope High School playing in it. There were two from Auburn, me and Daryl Crawford. Daryl was an All-SEC linebacker, and then Toby, Bragg Rockwell, and Kelvin Lee. Kelvin Lee was from Viger. There was a wide receiver from Fairhope, and so it was a fun time.
Yeah, I hear all the stories about what it was like on the Eastern Shore before I got here. Of course, back when you played in the late 80s or 90 was your senior year or something like that.
Joe Dean was our coach.
Yeah, and, you know, there was no Daphne, there was no Spanish Fort.
No.
Give us an idea of what Spanish Fort, for those who weren't here then, what did Spanish Fort look like back in the day?
Small. We had one subdivision or two subdivisions in Spanish Fort, and you're talking about the community, right?
Yeah, community, and
yeah.
just in general.
Yeah,
I hear the stories about going down 98 and running into one or two stoplights, that kind of thing.
Oh, absolutely. I remember vividly that when you got up to the Overlook and on 98 going toward Daphne, there was a Shell station, I think, on the right. And after that Shell station, maybe a Pizza Hut or a one-screen movie theater, and then in Daphne, and then you were in Fairhope, and a bunch of trees, and then you're in Fairhope. But it was a fun time because we had community day up in the Spanish Fort parking, the Spanish Fort strip mall parking lot, and fun runs and things like that, and got to see fire engines as a little kid, and that was always fun. It was a great place to grow up, and since we all did go to the high school, the same high school, we were very close. I did play in the first Daphne Fairhope game because they did start building the high school one when I was there and they opened it. So that was a fun time and a good ball game to reminisce and talk about.
Yep. As far as the Auburn Tigers, coming up, not so much Saturday, but for the rest of the season, what's your gut feeling as far as where they are? I know we've covered this a little bit, but as far as where they are and maybe Coach Malzahn, it's been a frustrating year, I know, for the offensive football team. Is this something they can pull out of, or is this? Do you feel like this? There may be a time when maybe a change is coming for the Auburn Tigers. I know we've been in that situation several times in the past. But
yeah, both scenarios, I think, can happen. And I hate it because Coach Malzahn has done a good job at Auburn, and he's been there for a long time. When you go through a coaching change, you're going to bring a new offense in, not a new offensive coordinator, whether it's the head coach or it's the OC. And that's a hard transition. I mean, it might take, depending on what offense they run, it might take 2 or 3 years because they might not have the people to run that specific offense. So, you know, it's always tough to get rid of a coach or have a coach leave. I have a good friend that I played with at Auburn for 2 years, Clay Helton, who's out at USC, and he's in the same boat.
Yeah.
People are saying, okay, at 4:30 on Saturday, he's going to get his leaving papers, mm-hmm. and after they play UCLA. And that's a tough thing to deal with. And,
it is. He's been there a while now, right?
He has. He was a quarterback coach and then the offensive coordinator, and then they I think when Sarkisian left, or Kiffin, I can't remember which,
mm-hmm.
They tapped him as the head coach. And I've been incredibly proud of Clay because he's done it with some injuries, especially this year. You know, if Utah loses one of the two games they have remaining, USC is playing in the Pac-10 or Pac-12, whatever it is, conference championship.
Yeah.
and in playing against Oregon,
yeah,
and has a good chance to upset Oregon. They got blew out, but it's hard to beat somebody twice. So Clay's got to, you know, he's got a lot on his plate. But I'm hoping and wishing for him back.
Yeah.
Same with Auburn.
Yeah.
You know, if Coach Malzahn has to go, it is tough. We went through a coaching change in 92 to 93 and ran a totally different offense. Back then, there weren't as many offenses to run, so it wasn't that much different.
Yeah.
But now, if you don't have the players for your offense, it takes a long time. And as you see, these schools are Arkansas, as FSU, if you don't win now, you're gone.
It's tough. So. Yeah, it's a tough business. Brian, we're out of time, but appreciate the visit, and enjoy the game Saturday, and we'll do it again real soon.
Thanks, Doug. War Eagle.
All right, War Eagle. Brian Brensfield over in Navarre. That's it for Tiger Talk Overtime on this Thursday night. We'll be back next week and, of course, preview the Alabama game. Until then, enjoy Samford and Auburn Saturday at 11. We'll see you next time.